Well, I too would like to say good morning, and certainly it's good to be gathered together this morning to worship with you here. I certainly enjoyed our time of fellowship together, thinking about the purity of the church, and thinking about some of the activities of this morning, and taking your counsel concerning Brother David. Thinking about how that's all part of a package of maintaining church life and being at unity one with another and moving forward as a body, and just the beauty that it is in working together as a church. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Trust that as we talked about church structure, as we think about the church, that we realize it's more than just thinking about having a body here. It's more than just thinking about a body that we're together and we love each other and we enjoy each other's company. But it's the reality that we're here and we're together because we love Jesus Christ and we want to exalt Him. And so I want to bring greetings in His name this morning. I also want to bring greetings from the Lenawee congregation in southern Michigan. And I want to just give you all a welcome to come and worship with us as you have the opportunity. We're a small group there. We love visitors. And we enjoy serving the Lord in that community as well. Now this morning I've chosen to think about a element of the Christian life that I believe is an important element of the Christian life. I believe it's something that we shouldn't maybe have to preach about. But it's a reality that in my own heart I need to be reminded at times that there's a responsibility in my life to look in my heart and see if this element is there. And I'd like to turn to the book of 1 John chapter 1 and just read a couple verses here. In 1 John chapter 1, in the opening of our message here this morning. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, we have these words. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." This morning I want to focus there on verse 4. I want to think about this aspect here that John was writing to the church, and he said, "I'm writing these things, I'm reminding you about this relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm reminding you about the reality of the Christian walk." And he says in verse 4, "that your joy may be full." This morning I titled the message, "Joy in the Journey." Joy in the Journey. And the title of this message came about as I was thinking recently of a song, as I was listening to a song. And it's a song that is titled, "Joy in the Journey." And I began to think about this song and the reality of it in the Christian life. And how do I relate to it? And does it really fit? Or is it just some kind of a song that's sort of, you know, it's just kind of one of those things we sing that's kind of a, you know, we wish it was this way, but it's just not going to be that way. I'm going to read the words of the song here, and then we're going to go and talk about this concept of joy in the journey. So I'll read the lyrics of the song. "Joy in the Journey. Along with friends and family, we travel up the road. A happy band of pilgrims, heaven is our goal. And we love this life we're living, discovering each day that the joys of the journey are many on the way." Now we're moving with a purpose, an eternal point of view. Like the years that hurry by us, we're only passing through. Now we work for Jesus gladly to give our best away, satisfied in knowing our labors not in vain. Well, it's true there are some struggles, and sure there are some tears, But they're so outweighed by blessing, they just fade and disappear. Now we're helping one another as to higher ground we climb, and the light on the horizon gets brighter all the time. And then we have the chorus. And there's joy in the journey, good times in the going. It's not all in the reaping, there's plenty in the sowing. Taking pleasure in the progress we make from day to day. Oh, there's joy in the journey to heaven all the way. This morning we want to talk about this concept of joy in the journey. And we want to think about the concepts, maybe some of the concepts that are laid out in this song. But we're going to move beyond that, and we're going to look into the Word of God and see what God says about how our lives should be. Not in the future, not only over there in glory, but here today, right here in our local communities. Now, as I was studying for the message, and as I read this song, and as I thought about the lyrics, and I thought I knew what it was saying, I went into the Word of God, and I thought, well, I'm going to look and see, we're going to pull out some verses here that just talk about it just like it is here. We're a happy band of pilgrims, it says in verse 1. We've got this goal of heaven, and we're just sort of plodding along. That's what it seemed like when I read through these verses, through the lyrics of the song. But as I read, as I picked up the New Testament, I began reading in the New Testament, and I started reading through the lives of the apostles, and I began to think about the Apostle Paul and his life, and I began to think about other Christians, especially in the New Testament. And I began to look at their lives, and I thought, well, somewhere I'm missing it. It doesn't seem like it was just this, you know, this rolling along and we're all happy and we help each other and we're friends, and it didn't always seem that way. And then I began to think about it, that I think maybe the world and the pressures of outside there have influenced my life and have conditioned my way of thinking. To the point where, as I looked at these verses and as I thought about this song and as I looked in the New Testament, I was looking at life from the perspective of that I deserve these things. I deserve to have a life of ease. I deserve to have an easy lifestyle. I deserve to be able to look on my day today as a sunny day, as a positive day, as a cheerful day, from the aspect of outside influences, from the circumstances I faced. And I realize that we as Christians in 2019 tend to look at life from a aspect that is always looking for something more out of life. We'd like to have these things. You know, if only my mortgage was paid for in my house, then I could relax a little and enjoy my Christian life. Then I wouldn't feel pressure to work so many hours. If only my children behaved perfectly, if they listened the first time all the time, then I could have joy. But you see, because they don't, life's a little stressful around my home. That's the way we tend, that's the way the world has conditioned us to look at life. But I want to just stop and think here a little bit about joy in the journey. And I want to think about some realities that we see in life from what the Scripture says about joy, and the realities that I some realities that we see about God has to say about joy. I want to look at the message this morning in three parts. First of all, I want to think about this thought here: should we expect to experience joy in this life? Is joy something that is reserved for over there in glory? Is joy something that we need to, as Christians, say, well, you know, the reality is it's going to be hard here. We just need to bite the bullet. We need to accept life as being hard and drudgery, and then we'll get relief someday. Or should we expect joy in this life? Well, I think the obvious answer is yes, we should expect joy in this life. All of us know, all of us who are Christians understand the concept of thinking about heaven and thinking about the future and thinking about the joy and the beauty there and the anticipation of heaven. But right here today, when circumstances are tough, what about today? What about now? Should we be experiencing joy in this life? You know, plenty of times I find life deals a pretty tough hand. Can we expect to experience joy in this life? I've got a list of references that we want to turn to really quickly. And we're going to just pick out some verses in the New Testament. As we go down through these, I want us to catch the glimmer, I want us to catch the reality that joy is something that the Christian should be experiencing today in his life. And I'm going to turn first of all to the book of Romans. We're going to take kind of a quick trip through the New Testament. And if you don't care to turn with me, you don't have to. But Romans chapter 5 is the first verse that we want to look at here, thinking about, should we experience joy in this life? And I want to say right at the front here that I don't have nearly all the verses listed, because when I began to think about the verses that talked about joy in the New Testament, I realized that we were going to be here an awful long time if we just read those verses. But we're going to pick out a few of them. Romans 5, verse 11. And not only so, it talks about how we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, and now we are also raised to life through His life and through His resurrection. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We also joy in God. There's a joy in being saved and being born again. We're going to turn to Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, or it's not all the carnal things of this world. It's not in the pleasures that society runs after, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It talks about joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're going to turn to Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's talking about the God of hope fill you with all joy. We're going to move to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. We're going to read verse 1 as well. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, this talks about hard times, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That verse to the carnal mind is really hard to get your mind wrapped around. In fact, to the spiritual mind, it's pretty hard to get your mind wrapped around it. How in that great trial of affliction, there was like some really hard things that they were going through, personal things in their lives, and they were real. And it talks about deep poverty, but it talks about all these things bringing an element of joy. It says, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. We're going to step ahead in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. This is one of the verses I think we all expected to get to at one point here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Right here in verse 22 it says, joy is going to be part of your life. If you're a Christian, if the Spirit's dwelling in your heart, the fruit of the Spirit in a renewed mind is going to be joy. And that's going to be today. I'm going to just read a couple of these. I have a number jotted down here on my paper. We won't turn to all of them. fulfill ye, Philippians 2, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This talks about unity, the unity of the church, the like-mindedness bringing joy right here today. Philippians 2, verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. It's talking about being sacrificed, offering ourselves for one another and finding joy in service. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Talks about joy that comes along with afflictions and receiving the word. We could go down through James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And he goes on and talks about the end result of that temptation being a positive thing in our lives. 1 John 1, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 4, we read that verse there where it says, he's writing these things that our joy might be full. And 3 John 1, verse 4 yet, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now I want us just to think about this picture of joy. Thinking about joy in the journey. Do you get the picture of what joy is in these scriptures that we read? Joy is a part of the fruit, is an element of the fruit of the Spirit, is a result of God being in our hearts and having a renewed mind. Joy is the product of a heart surrendered to God and His will for my life. I think that's one of the keys that we need to grasp this morning as we think about this thing, element, or this aspect of joy in the journey. Is it's not a hilarious journey. It's not a journey that's about me. It's not a journey about getting my way, but it's a journey of faith and a journey of surrender, of brokenness. Joy is the product of a heart surrendered to God and His will for my life. We read in these verses here, it talked about faith. It talked about responding in faith. Joy is only possible, true joy is only possible with a deep faith. With a deep faith in God and in a reality that God will do all things well. That God is in control. That God is working in the background. That God is there orchestrating my life and your life for my good. And He's brought this circumstances of today, whether they be cheerful, whether they be hard, but He's brought them into my life specifically to help me. And until we realize that in our hearts, we're going to have a hard time finding joy in the journey. Another thing, thinking about, should we expect to experience joy in this life? One of the things that I noticed as I read through these verses is that joy is not an option for the Christian. It's not an aspect, it's not something that we can say, well, it would be nice. But the reality is, with the life I live, it's just not happening. It's not going to happen. Joy is not optional for the Christian. But joy is an earmark, I believe, it's an earmark of a broken spirit. It's an earmark of a life of surrender to God. It's an earmark of a life of faith. And if we find in our heart that there's no joy there, then we need to look deeper than just fixing that element. But we need to think about what's really inside. Have I surrendered to God's will for my life? Am I truly broken? Am I really ready to say to God, use me in whatever area you choose to use me in? Joy is not optional for the Christian. Just like light drives away darkness, so when we take on the light of Jesus Christ, there will be an element of joy in our hearts. Not a giddy, emotional, silly aspect, but a settled peace and a settled joy and a settled from our hearts, being able to accept what God brings into our lives and to do it cheerfully out of a heart that's changed by Jesus Christ. Now I want to move on to the second part of the message here. We thought about, should we expect to experience joy? Thinking about joy in the journey. What are some keys to securing true joy? And we talked about them just a little bit. But we want to look at it more specifically now. Several keys for securing true joy. I'd like to turn to Romans 15. We're going to just pull one verse out here. Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 13 says here, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." We're just going to think about this verse here just a little bit here, thinking about some keys to securing joy. And as we go into this, I think the number one thing we need to remember is that God is the giver of joy. It says here, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy." It doesn't say here, because you serve God, you need to somehow or another drum up joy in your life. That's not what it says. It says, "Now the God of all hope fill you with joy." And it goes on down through there. It says that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's talking about a life that is changed, a life that is filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And one of the products of that infilling is going to be joy in this life. Things, circumstances of life affect our emotions. And we have happiness and we have an emotional joy, a surface joy that comes and goes with the circumstances of life. I think that's normal. But underneath that, the true joy that stands, that stays there, comes from God. I was thinking about this in relation to an example of this. I thought about Paul and Silas in prison. And I believe on the surface, there were questions in their minds. I don't think they just sat there and sang in the evening and said, "You know, really, it doesn't matter what happens. They're probably going to cut her heads off tomorrow. That's all right." I don't think that's the way it was. I think in reality, there was some trepidation about how God's going to work this out. But underneath that surface, the surface, and underneath those fears that were real, and underneath those emotions that will come, they had this underlying joy. And as they talked together and as they communed and as they shared some of their fears, they began to realize God's here with us. And he's not, things aren't out of his control. He's in control. And in their hearts there welled up this joy that was there. And they just couldn't help but sing and respond in that way. There's other people we could look at. But Paul and Silas had a hope in God that was not shaken or greatly moved by the difficult trial of imprisonment and the inevitable death that was looming before them. I want to just look at a couple points here, thinking about some keys to securing true joy. Point number one, true joy comes only by surrender to God's plan for my life. And we talked about this a little bit before, but I think it bears repeating. If we're going to have joy in this life, then we're going to need to be surrendered to God's plan for my life. And that begins by bowing before Him and accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's where it's got to start. But it doesn't stop there. We don't somehow or another call out to God and we accept Him and now we live our life like we want to live it. And we just do our own thing. But it's an ongoing daily picking up the cross. Paul talked about dying daily. If I remember right, it was Paul. "I die daily. Every day I need to be crucified. Crucify myself." True joy only comes by surrender to God's plan for my life. And that surrender goes out in practical areas of life. It doesn't just stop right here with me and God in my personal devotions, in my personal walk. But God has other areas of authority that we're faced with, and we have to accept those authorities and go down the line. And maybe I think I'm accepting God's authority in my life, but in reality, if I choose to say yes to God and no to my church, or no to my school, or no to my employer, or no to my dad, or no to my church leader, or you put that in there, whatever authority, no to the police officer. In reality, when I say no here, I'm saying no to God. That's what I'm doing. Key to securing true joy, number one, it comes from a surrender to God and His plan for my life. Number two, key, another key to finding joy is putting others' good ahead of our own. So first of all, I surrender to God, and I say, God, what you bring in my life, I'm okay with it. I'm going to accept it. I may have to, the reality is we may have some emotions that come along with it we have to work through. But secondly, after we do that, another key is putting others' good ahead of our own. You know, we come into this world and we're born with this nature that looks out for number one. And it doesn't just stop real easily. I find it in my own life as I think about business. And it's really easy for me in business life to make sure that I am taken care of sufficiently and maybe a little bit more than sufficiently. But I think one of the true joys that comes, one of the keys to securing true joy, is to put God first, others next, and put myself at the bottom of the pile. That's where we find true joy in serving God. When we're willing to be a zero, if you can use that term, and we look at others around us and we put them ahead of ourselves. Think about that little children's song that we sing, and it sounds so simple, but yet it's really hard to live out. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, J-O-Y must be. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. That's a song that I think all of us do well to take to heart. If we're going to have joy, then we need to put others ahead of ourselves. Thirdly, thinking about some keys to securing true joy. Finally, true joy is the result of knowing that this life is not the end. We're talking about joy in the journey. But I believe the reality is that if we're going to experience true joy in this life, there are going to be times in this life when the only thing that we have to find joy in, and it's not going to be, it shouldn't be the norm, but there's a reality that there's times that it's going to be that the only thing we have to find joy in is the fact that there is an eternity ahead, and God has promised that no matter how hard this life is, if we're victorious, that one day we're going to have and be able to spend an eternity with Him. True joy is found when we remember or when we know that this life is not the end. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, and he said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." And so he's saying that in light of all the persecution they were facing, in light of all the hard things they faced in life, and if it was only about the here and now, and there was no hope of eternity, there would be days when there would be no joy. We would be of all men most miserable. We would be seeking the good, seeking to follow God for the reality of today. And some days it would be hard to do that and find joy. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We can have joy in this life because our Bible says that God is going to be the victor. Sometimes in this life it seems like Satan is getting the upper hand. We have friends who are turning their backs on God. And it seems like the church, as you look across the landscape of this church and you see shipwreck in many places, and you see people who are turning their backs on God and walking away from truth. And the picture becomes bleak, and we wonder about our children. Are we going to be able to raise our families in an environment that in the end is going to produce spiritual life? But we need to look ahead and realize that God is the victor. God has answers to our problems. And some of the joy is going to come in knowing that it's right, our hearts are right with God. And that there's an eternity awaits, waiting those who are faithful. In closing, I'd like to switch gears a little bit now. I'd like to just share a few scriptures thinking about when joy seems to have fled. The reality is that I find in my life, in my experience, that there are times that I look in my heart and I begin to think about my life and I begin to realize that there's that joy is not there. There's a lot of pressures that we face in this life. There's a lot of realities that we face. There's a lot of hard things that we need to work through. And I believe that it's going to be a reality to most all of us, that there's going to be days when we realize that there's not joy there. And what does God say about that? What are some scriptures that we can turn to? When joy is not present and we feel the lack of joy, what are some scriptures that we can ponder? I'd like to turn, first of all, back to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to just read a couple verses here in the Old Testament and then into the New. Jeremiah 29. Now, you remember that when Jeremiah was prophesying, it was a pretty bleak picture. The church had done, not the church, but the nation of Israel had turned from God, and they were serving idols. And the reality is that there was a lack of joy there. And yet there were some people like Jeremiah, and there were some faithful people who were trying to serve God. And yet it seemed like it was a hard road because the nation as a whole had turned their backs on God. And they were kind of, there was a contention here in Israel from those that were trying to serve God and those that were just blatantly going against God. But in the middle of this cold picture, in the middle of this and this dark picture, God says here through Jeremiah in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That's a verse that brings comfort to my heart. That's a verse that I think all of us do well to think about when our joy seems to be weak. We need to think about this reality that God is not in heaven with a big stick waiting to punish us and just ready to say, "All right, I'm done with you." That's not the God we serve. But God is in heaven and He's looking down. And as He's seeing our faith being weak, and as He's seeing the winds of this world and the discouragements around us beating in on us and making us discouraged and causing our spirits to be low, He's saying, "But I thought, know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God is there, and He's saying, "I want to bring joy in your experience. I want to restore those broken down places in the relationship between us and God. I want to bring joy into your experience." Another verse that came to my mind, Psalm 118, verse 24. Psalm 18, verse 24. Some days it seems like it goes backwards and we're emotionally bowed down under the load. But the reality of this verse here is has can be a strong boost to us as we think about it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The reality that God is in control. This is the day, and these circumstances we are facing are part of God's working. And maybe it's a hard thing, and maybe it's part of a sowing and reaping of for what we've sowed, but God has allowed it. God is in this day. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. I will choose to accept that and to be at peace. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Isaiah 61, verse 10. It's another precious verse. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And why will I? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And he goes on and talks about that. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? Because he has clothed me with salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness. This verse just simply blesses my heart as I think about my joy and my lack of joy. Think about a scripture that helps us to focus on God when our joy is weak. Who is God in our lives? Well, he's the one who has made it possible that we can have forgiveness. He is the one who has first reached out in love to us and extended his love through Jesus Christ and called us to himself. He hath clothed me with the garment of salvation, has covered me with the robe of righteousness, given me the power. It's not just some kind of a robe where he says, okay, you're righteous, now live in your sins. That's not what it's saying. But he's clothed us with the robe of righteousness, given us the power to take hard things in life, to take difficult things in life, and make them into something beautiful. Moving now to Philippians chapter 4. I want to just read a verse here. It's a command here in Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. Sometimes I need jerked out of my self-pity with the reality that God says we can't stay there. And when my joy is weak and when I'm looking at myself, and sometimes I need to read this verse here in Philippians chapter 4 where he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And he goes on down through and he helps us see how we're going to do that. And that's by being close to God in prayer there in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a connection between this command and verse 4 and thinking about our joy being weak. There's a connection between the command of rejoicing and the reality that God says, while I command you to do that, Paul says the way you get there is by taking your problems, sharing them with the Lord. It says here, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Don't be burdened down with the cares and drawn into a state of discouragement, in a state where you can't find your way clear and you're just stumbling around and your joy is gone. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he says, and then joy will come, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Another one here in the New Testament we're going to look at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Once again, we have these short, to-the-point commands, not suggestions, but commands to us as Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to read a couple verses here around, starting with verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Talks about joy. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he goes down through there, and he also talks about some other things. And he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I notice here that when we have the command to joy, once again, it is coupled with the command to pray. It is coupled with the reality that joy comes as a result of surrender to God's will, and the privilege or the choice to surrender my will to the will of God, and allow Him to be Lord of our lives. You know, this morning as I think about these thoughts of joy in the journey, as we look at our lives today and we compare them to Christians or even non-Christians across the landscape of the world, I'm not sure which one in your mind looks more difficult. But as we think about the landscape of the world and we think about where we are today and being blessed with being part of a church body that loves each other, part of a body of believers that wants to help each other, part of a body of believers that wants to help carry the load and help us on our journey. You know, we're blessed way beyond what we deserve. And yet, the reality is it's really easy for me to focus on the few negatives of my life and lose my joy. You know, if Satan can get his foothold in your life and take away your joy and cause it to be replaced with discouragement, with rejection, and with dissatisfaction, he can quickly rob you of your salvation. It's not positive thinking, like the world would try to tell us, that makes life successful, but rather the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to just read in closing here. I'm just going to read over the chorus of that song that I shared in the beginning. And there's joy in the journey, good times in the going. It's not all in the reaping. There's plenty in the sowing. Taking pleasure in the progress we make from day to day. Oh, there's joy in the journey to heaven all the way. I trust this morning that this can be your experience, that you're finding joy in the Christian life, and that as you surrender your life to Him, as you plug into His program for your life, that you can find it to be a life of fulfillment. And that joy, there can be joy in the going, and not only a future joy, but a joy that's a reality today. May God help each one of us to serve Him. May He give us a desire to walk in His ways, and may we find that joy a reality in our lives today. Let's kneel for prayer at this time.